Pool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris.
What a historic win. Obviously, it took us 35 years. That's why we brought my brother to the game with us last week, and it was an amazing game, an historic win. Obviously, my wife was there, and then Mike was there, and my brother and his girlfriend came. And the only one in the car that saw the win against Florida, we didn't really see a win against Florida at home, but was my brother, who was 35. So that was it finally ended the streak. It was the loudest I've ever heard that stadium. Been going my entire life, feels like, and never seen anything. Never heard that stadium that loud. The whole game too.
Did you guys cry together or what?
I about cried. I'll be honest with you. We hugged,
Dad.
We hugged, and it was just like a finally type of thing, you know.
I wouldn't blame you at all.
I mean, no. I mean,
I was hammered and I was excited.
Yeah, I mean, I was hammered and stuff, and my voice is just recovered yesterday.
It was definitely a little missy-eyed for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was just like a finally type of thing. And of course, we partake on the field and all that stuff. It was awesome. I mean, it was just a great night. Office still really suspect. I don't want to shit on the parade, but defense played awesome. I mean, it's about as perfect as you can go in a game where your offense gives you very little. Pascal was MVP. Corker was pretty good. Obviously, J.J. Weaver had a good game, and obviously, Jones had a good game.
I got to say, I disagree with Jaquez Jones winning National Defensive Player of the Week.
I agree, but he did have a good game. Pascal, nine tackles.
Out there.
Nine tackles,
Pascal and Weaver both had more impactful plays than Jones. I know he batted that ball down and he had nine tackles, but
The ball wouldn't have been caught anyways. If y'all noticed, the receiver was falling down. The ball was getting thrown to a cornerback who would have probably picked it off.
Yeah, Geiger was right in the path. By the way, Geiger, man, just getting better and better.
Yes, he is. The most intriguing thing to me, the thing that I think comes out of this game more so than obviously breaking the streak, because you can't be taken serious as a football team if you have streaks like that. You just can't.
Yep.
Ever. And that's just the way it is. But was McCall going down, a couple guys getting kind of pushed into major playing time. Rogers was awesome, and so was Hayes. So that's a good sign for the defense going forward, because it looks like McCall's going to be out. They said 5 to 6 weeks, but I originally saw a lot. I haven't seen anything else different. So,
well, and you would think that they would, you know, with the play of the young defensive tackles, as long as they continue playing that way, you would think that they would let McCall just rest a little bit more.
Yeah.
Just to make sure he's 100%.
I was always kind of under the impression of going into this season, and it's nothing against McCall because McCall's a fantastic player. I always thought by the end of the season we would see Rogers playing about 50-50 with him because just the upside of it. But I thought McCall played great. McCall's been great this year. He's really put forth the effort to get in shape, and it's getting shape. That was a big thing with him.
Yeah, you can absolutely tell.
But yeah, I mean, he's going to be, it's a huge loss for us inside, obviously for depth purposes, but it seems like defensive line and offensive line are loaded there.
Yeah. I tell you another guy who I thought had a pretty solid game, just getting kind of in the way of the run game, was Oxendine had a solid game.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, he's been a essential starter the whole year. And
yeah,
he's just an explosive, strong dude.
We can go on and on.
He had the face mask call, but that was, he'll adjust. I was fine with that face.
We can go on and on with the defense and how good they played. And obviously Wright was doing a lot of plays too, getting held.
Yeah.
But overall, the defense, you know, there's really not any person on the defense that you're like, well, he didn't have a very good game, or because defense has played their butts off, and that's what you Mitch, you get, you need some nights.
Total team effort, which is, yes. I'd rather have an entire defense that plays that way than, you know, one or two players, because, you know, game to game, one or two players may not show up. Whereas if you have a deep, talented defense that plays well together and just continues to get better game to game, I mean, you're going to be able to rely on that.
I definitely think that Kentucky, I think Georgia's defense is like better than probably most defenses in the country.
Well, they're on pace to be the best defense in college football history. So
when I say this, I'm not trying to say Kentucky's even on the level of Georgia, but I think Kentucky's probably the second or third best defense in the SEC. And it seems like this is every year with Stoops, his teams, as they go on through the season, they get better.
That's what's crazy about the defense is, like, it takes them a few games, but eventually you start seeing how good Brad White can be once he figures out who his guys are.
Yeah, and that's essentially what's happened here this year. And again, it's I definitely think they're the second best team in the SEC, but the thing is the best team in the SEC is better than, you're right, Chris, the whole country, and probably historically better than most defenses that we can think of over the years. So now to play devil's advocate, obviously it was a great win, and I will always take a Florida win, especially when it's been 35 years. I've never seen it in my lifetime, so obviously I'm not going to be too disappointed with the whole team or anything that happened, but the offense is this was the first game that me and Chris talked about this a little bit the other night. This is the first game where I looked at the play call and was like, this is terrible play call. I mean, this is conservative play call that we saw in Eddie Grant that we didn't want to see come back this year.
Right.
And that's what it felt like. It felt like they were scared to throw it downfield a little bit, or he was launching it downfield. He was scared through the underneath throws, got a little spooked. The running game was great, was fine. But the Wildcat on 4th and 2, just stuff like that is just so – we didn't think we were going to ever see the Wildcat again.
Right. Hoped.
And it's just it's a bit concerning because of that. I mean, I think he'll get it together. I do think Leon Colum is a home run hire, absolute home run hire. But you got to get Levis to be able to make – because there was – me and Mike talked about it at that during the game where their little short passes, little swing passes, he overthrew them or he threw them too hard. And those were first downs. Those weren't his first downs. They're probably 15 yards. Right. So those type of plays have to be made. And then after Levis couldn't make those throws, then all of a sudden he totally went away from doing his checkdowns and he was just launching it downfield. He couldn't get it there. Then they started running the ball a lot more. Or he was looking to run after he checked off Wandell. And things are just going to be harder now because, of course, Ali being out now.
It seems like Levis really – I mean, you can't fault him, obviously. And you, I guess you would rather have a quarterback who wants to make something happen, a big player or whatever, than somebody who's a check-down Charlie. But he is holding on to the ball too long. Our pass blocking is not good, which we talked about several times before the season even started, that these guys haven't been asked to do that. So it is going to be an adjustment. I mean, you're seeing that. He's getting very little time. But Levis isn't understanding the time he has in the pocket and taking what the defense is giving him because, you're also seeing Kentucky's lack of depth at wide receiver because they're not getting open unless their name is Wandell Robinson. But there were several plays where Levis had a guy who was, 7 to 10 yards away with nobody in sight for 3 or 4 yards, and he just chucked it deep or took a sack.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that. And this is not the first game he's done it. I mean, his passer rating has gotten worse and worse every single game.
Yeah, I mean, the competition's picked up, obviously. And, I mean, the one thing I will say about Levis is he's made some big running plays. I mean, he leaped over a guy. I mean,
he plays hard,
but we don't need someone to play hard. Terry Wilson played hard. Guys like that, they played hard and stuff like that, but they have no presence in the pocket and be able to make throws. Now, again, I do think the play calling's better this year. I do think there's an upgrade at the wide receiver's position. But when Levis can't make little swing passes they go for 4 or 5 yards, but those have big, significant impacts on the play calling. Because if he can't make that throw, then what are we doing?
Yeah.
I mean, you're spreading them out.
I would like to see Kentucky move the pocket a little bit more and use his athleticism and use his mobility. He's good on the run.
So if he does see somebody streaking open wide,
he can make that throw on the run. But get him out there running around, and if there's an open 4 or 5 yards, let him run then. But move the pocket around. Don't keep letting him sit back in a pocket with an offensive line that hasn't done a whole lot of pass blocking in the last 4 years.
I'm not hitting panic button yet. I saw some people saying, when do we go to Bow Island? That's
ridiculous. Oh, my God. What?
I've seen it. When we go to Bow Island, I was like, oh, my God, that's sad.
Fans who have been fans for.
Yeah, that has to be. But
one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Will Levis is obviously the guy for the job.
Yeah, Will Levis is an upgrade. Probably the best quarterback we've had here in a while.
Since Mike Hartline.
it has the tools of Mark Artline and stuff, but just the tools of an actual quarterback. Yes. Not just an athletic guy that can make things with his legs, but this guy can, and he has a rocket arm. So I'm not hitting panic button yet. But yeah, I mean, the game was awesome. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to win. You got the goal before the season was to be 5-0, to go into LSU and then hopefully go to Georgia 6-0. You know, I mean, the whole goal was to make that Georgia game matter. And no matter what happens against LSU tomorrow, the game against Georgia is for the East, essentially. Yep. And that's what you wanted. I mean, I told this with Mike. We said this back in 2018. Kentucky football, and hopefully we get to a point where we don't have to hope like this, but Kentucky football every year has to get to that Georgia game and make that game matter. And one of these days –
I think that's like a negative statement against any program.
Well, I just think that Georgia is better than everyone in the East, and it's not even a close – there's a significant gap between Florida – or no, sorry, significant gap between Georgia, and then, like, there's that second tier, which is, like, Kentucky, Florida. You can make an argument Missouri. I know Missouri's had a bad year, but they've been on that little threshold right there. And then, of course, Tennessee looked a lot better this year, but they could probably maybe put them in there. But definitely Kentucky and Florida are on that next tier, and then everyone else type of thing. But Kentucky can get in that Georgia game, and Georgia has four turnovers. Kentucky wins. That can happen.
Georgia's offense does not worry me at all. I'm sorry, but Stetson Bennett is not a threatening quarterback, and I don't think their run game is as good as Arkansas made them look. Their offense has not been all that this year. Their defense they get a ton of points off defense. And
yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
And that's what kills you.
I'm not trying to get too off topic and stuff with Georgia. I agree with you. Georgia's offense has not been that great. I mean, I'd rather have JT Daniels back there throwing. But again, the game coming up tomorrow is important to make. You know, if you go 5-0, if you're going 6-0 and you go into Georgia, you put a little pressure on Georgia, because Georgia has to play Auburn this weekend. I'm not saying Auburn's a little bit down, but they still have to play Auburn, and they still have Florida on their schedule. So say they lose to Auburn, and then they beat us and they lose to Florida. I mean, this is, you know.
Yeah, Kentucky, there's scenarios where Kentucky can come out on top here.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's a three-way tie. Kentucky come out on top like that. So, and it seems like Georgia loses to someone they're not supposed to, like a South Carolina last year, stuff like that. I mean, they stumped their toe on the way. And even if Kentucky loses, they beat LSU and they lose to Georgia, and say Georgia goes undefeated, and then you still get yourself in a position to maybe make the playoff there. It just depending on how everything, you know, falls in line. I don't know. We're not getting to obviously the first game we have to get through is the LSU game, and we get an actual reeling LSU team coming in here. It's quite incredible to see LSU coming in unranked against a ranked Kentucky team.
Yeah, the wounded dog. Yeah, Kentucky.
Ed Orgeron has had nothing but straight downhill since his championship, which we all saw it. I mean, Joe Burrow was a once in a lifetime guy, just like a Anthony Davis for Kentucky basketball program. You just don't guys like that come around ever so often.
All the receivers they had, the tight ends. They lost like 21 people off that team. They all got drafted.
And that's why they got beat the first game the next year.
Maybe the best college football team in history. Definitely the best offense.
Oh yeah, definitely might be the best team. You're right there. Offensively, they scored more than that. Because the year before was the Alabama team, and I thought they were the best one. They were the best team, but the LSU team had scored more points and was better offensively all around. It's definitely a weird scenario. Now I will say this about LSU: they were struggling a little bit last year, and they ended up finishing off the season real hot. So it's something to kind of pay attention to. Of course, we saw LSU was 14-1 coming off a loss. The only loss coming to, we all guessed it, Bama. So that's impressive. But most of those losses, I was realizing, was mostly their come-off losses going home. So not really going on the road. Not just against a tough opponent. And plus, you're talking about strength. Their team is not even nearly as good as the teams they've had since he's been there. And they obviously have injuries. Their best cornerbacks out. Their best safeties out. Those two starters. One of them's an All-American.
They're starting defensive tackles out now.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's all falling in line for Kentucky. Now, can either one of you name the year? And I actually did my research on this, so I know it's true. Can anyone name the year the last time Kentucky was ranked and LSU was not playing this game?
I cannot.
There is one year that happened. Well, you're actually pretty close. You're 14 years off. 1950.
Yep.
Oh, so, nice. 1950, they came in, and does anyone know how the outcome of that game was?
13-3, Kentucky.
Cats by 90.
Yeah, 14-0. They beat them 14-0. Of course, that was the year Kentucky claims a national championship. So, 11-1 season. Of course, we all know who the coach was. That was the last time that Kentucky not only played LSU while ranked and they were unranked, that was also last year Kentucky won their first six games.
So are you Mark's next Bear Bryant? That's what I took.
No, I'm thinking it's lining up to show that 1950 was the best year in Kentucky's history, 11-1. And they were 5-0. They played LSU. They made it 6-0. So that was the last time they started out 6-0. It wasn't LSU, but they played LSU. Like, they were 5-0 at LSU, but that was the last year that they were 6-0, and that was the last year they played LSU unranked and beat them. So that's just something to look at. It doesn't really happen much in Kentucky's football history. Obviously, most of the time it's LSU ranked and Kentucky unranked, right? So
how are we feeling overall in this game?
I feel confident. I think you should. I feel confident. I feel more confident than I like to feel.
See, I don't feel as confident. I'm worried about the emotional win last week. We always have a hard time bouncing back.
I'm with you, Mike. Kentucky's history. I can't shed my Kentucky football trauma until I actually see them take on these kind of games back-to-back and win. That was a huge game last week for the program and its history. And it was super emotional. Everybody was jacked up. It's easy to look back in Kentucky football's history and look at these situations where we have look at the last time we beat LSU when they were number one. We beat them. Florida comes to town the very next week, game day, all that kind of stuff. And we get, effed up by Florida.
Well, it wasn't that bad. I think there was a couple of penalties that I missed and stuff, pass interferences that I hate to bring up back then. But, yeah, I get what you're saying. Tebow, they had Tebow, too. This isn't like a Tebow-led LSU team coming in here.
I understand that, but here's the thing. Everybody keeps looking at, LSU, they're down and all that. Yeah, but that roster is full of 4- and 5-star guys. And it's I think their problem is they're poorly coached. And it's only a matter of time before pride and dignity take over and these 4- and 5-star guys start saying, I'm super talented. I'm just going to go ahead and be awesome.
Well, I mean, that and they're playing for their lives. They're playing for their coach. I mean, he's – I'm going to tell you, I will say this. I like Ed Orgeron. He's fine. He gets me a laugh. You're a guy. We're all guys. We all like the guy. He talks funny, whatever. He seems like a dude, like a guy you like to play for. But at the end of the day, I don't feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for his team or his fan base. Kentucky's been the whipping post for a really long time. And so if you're going to sit here and I sit here and make me think, well, maybe if he can beat Kentucky, he'll save his job. If you need it to beat Kentucky to save your job, you got a lot more problems than this game.
Whoa. Right. That's
Well, what I'm saying is people.
Now, if you're talking about Vanderbilt or old Kentucky,
that's different.
Well, the perception of Kentucky, these people, the perception. And LSU thinks Kentucky's overrated. They think that they've gotten lucky. I've seen some people have wrote down LSU has previewed Kentucky, and I've read some of them. They think Kentucky's gotten lucky so far this year. Well, I mean, there's something to that, but every team has been defeated for most of them. Most of the time, are lucky in some sort of way.
Kentucky's found a way to win in every game. Right. Let's put it frankly.
But the one last history thing, and I hate to say this because this is going to bring a bad omen to all of us. Trauma. We've had the PTSD from Kentucky football. Kentucky football was 5-0. They've been 5-0 to start of the season 4 times. Impressively, it's 2 of them has been underneath Mark Stoops. Now, the last one, obviously was Texas A&M. We lost to them. The one before that was 1984, and LSU came in and beat us. Beat us pretty good too. So just to kind of give you another history lesson, but that was an LSU team that was ranked in the top 10.
Real nice, so, Nick.
Different LSU team. But again, Chris is right. I mean, after they won the national championship, they had the best recruiting class, if I can remember right. So
well, they recruit in top 10 every single year. It's not an issue of talent.
Kentucky or LSU is a very talented team that has not won figured out their quarterback position, which was their problem before Burrow's got there. Which is
they have figured out their quarterback's got 16 touchdowns to 4 interceptions.
Well, there you go. I didn't know his numbers that well.
Yeah.
So what's their problem then?
They can't run the ball. They can't block anybody. Their secondary has not performed to their talent level.
And that brings me to my next scenario. Their line of scrimmages are for Kentucky and LSU are surprisingly, Kentucky is better on both sides of the ball on the line of scrimmage, on the lines.
Yep,
that's a no brainer at this point. They might when the ball gets hiked, maybe you know they might change. But as of right now, on paper, Kentucky is good up front, and that should again make you feel confident for Kentucky in this game. Now I've seen the letdowns, just like the rest of us have. Tennessee is the one that comes out of my mind more than any of them. I guess after we lost to Georgia, they go down and lose to a shitty Tennessee team.
Kentucky always just seems to play down to the level of their competition.
They do, but Kentucky is – you're coming off an emotional game. If you want to change your program into something better, you got to start playing games one after another. And hopefully – we're going to have another sold-out crowd. Hopefully they'll feed off that crowd and get them hyped up. Because, I mean, yeah, last week was an emotional toll on everyone. I mean, not just the players, the fans, everyone. I mean, everyone was
– like, I mean, they could
– what did you say, Mike?
I said, what's the outcome from week?
Absolutely solid points that nobody heard.
Yeah. You have a little audio problem there?
What about
– I can't hear you. So, anyways, we're going to continue on. But – So, yeah, no, I'm really excited that the game is at 7:30. Loving the blackout stuff. Obviously, it's great for the fans. We all like it. I mean, but the big thing is am I going to still wear the same outfits I've been wearing going to games because we've been winning? I mean, what do you guys think about that?
I've been wearing the same shoes and jersey every game since 2018. So, I'm probably the worst person to talk to about this. I'm wearing my jersey.
Don't change. They sprung the blackout on everybody a day before the game. You can't be changing now.
Right. No. Don't throw that low ball at me. If you want a blackout, you do it a week in advance or 2 weeks in advance.
Put
shirts on the backs of every seat.
We're 5-0 is the thing. We're 5-0. I can't be changing up stuff.
Yeah. No.
I just can't. I'm gonna be wearing blue then. Okay.
Over at it, huh? I mean, fuck. Come on.
I know. I'm wearing blue. I don't care. Whatever. It's not that fun if you can't really – the blackout in the stand doesn't look as great.
We're not even wearing black jerseys, so.
It's like blue and black. Yeah, it is. It's blue and black.
It's anthracite. Right. It's gray. It's dark gray.
Oh, okay. Then what are we worried about? Okay. Well, moving on. So, I mean, I just hope it's as loud as it was last week. Obviously, that's what your ultimate goal is. All the national media was talking about how loud they were.
I can even see the fans having a letdown. I know it's sold out, but I'm saying just like bringing that same level of energy. I can see it.
It's a different vibe. And I'll tell people this every time they go to Tennessee and Florida games, it's at home. Even Louisville games are at home. It's just a different atmosphere.
I'm just going to say, if it is like last week's, I'm going to need vocal cord surgery next week.
Yeah, my voice was gone all week. Yeah, I just recovered today. Today was the first day that I didn't have like a squeaky voice.
But then it's like you're going through puberty and like your voice cracking every 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's been terrible all week. So
even on ESPN, it sounded super loud.
Eight false starts, man. That's
incredible.
Well, LSU does a clap count too, so they might have a lot too. If we're just as loud, they might have just as much. So just keep that in mind. But I'm sure they're on just that. But anyways, all right. So I guess
if LSU wins, what happens?
Yes. LSU wins that they controlled a lot of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I mean, that is Kentucky's strength against them. Against both teams, really, against every team except Georgia, probably. That's if LSU runs the ball on us and is able to move the ball, able to get a lot of sacks, get a lot of pressure, and Levis can't run the ball. I mean, obviously, all the things I'm saying. If you don't do it, you're probably going to lose the game. So
I'm going to go with if we lose the game, we just came out flat with no, you know, energy or emotion.
I agree with that. I think
then not offense is just sloppiness.
I think if Kentucky loses, LSU threw for over 300 yards, a few touchdowns. Kentucky comes out flat, is unable to establish a passing game. And LSU is able to make a couple key stops. And that's the game.
Kentucky really needs to bury LSU early. Yeah, they put someone that's 3-2 coming in here, kind of licking their wounds, per se. You need to come in here and get up 14-21-0 like you did Missouri, yeah, almost, and just put them out. And if they make a run, at least they're having to score points to make a run on you.
Yeah, if Kentucky comes out and jumps on top of LSU by two touchdowns or even maybe 10-0 at the beginning of the first quarter and they haven't been moving the ball, I think you take their souls.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. But again, you got to be able to, if you want to be seen up there with, you know, the Georgias and Alabamas and stuff like that, then you got to beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and you got to bury teams when you're better than them. More better than LSU.
Yep.
And you can say they may have better recruit stuff, but we are more talented than them. We are a better team. Better coach team at that.
That's so, the biggest thing.
Yeah. We're more disciplined. We just – if you can't get up for a game against LSU regardless of their record, then, I mean, you probably should be playing the SEC. Probably playing somewhere else. So
– if Kentucky wins.
Well – I think Kentucky's offense is going to look pretty good, and I think they're going to throw the ball. Yeah. If they throw for 300 plus, and you know, do our thing on the ground, yeah, I think it's going to be a blowout almost.
I agree with you, Nick. I think we just get 250. I think 250 with no turnovers throwing, and then also on running game, we're just going to pound it down their throat. So
if he just takes care of the ball and wins the turnover battle, they'll probably win.
250 throwing, 150 rushing. I think we'll be just fine.
God, you're reading my mind, Mike.
What's that?
I said, you're reading my mind.
Oh, God. We're going. I agree.
Yeah.
I think if Kentucky wins, they threw for 250 yards, two touchdowns, two sacks, an interception on defense, and say, yeah, buck 50 by C-Rod.
I think that'd be good. I know they're giving up a lot of rushing yards this year, so yeah, that might actually happen. I'm really confident about this game, and I hate to say that because I know our history with Kentucky football. But even like the last time we were 5-0 going to A&M, I was like, it's a trap game. We're on the road. A difficult place to play, and this team hasn't really, it was coming on the same type of thing. Wasn't moving the offense very well. But I think our offense is significantly better than 2018. So
the biggest
thing at home.
Home game.
Yeah, it's a home game. Yeah, I think if we were going to LSU, I'd be worried. But anyway, so
prediction time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, prediction time, and well, yeah, and our MVPs. So, what do you guys got?
Who wants to go first?
Mike, go ahead.
All right. I'm going to go C-Rod. I think he scores two touchdowns. I like Chris was thinking of throwing two, but I think we're going to run for two. Going two touchdowns. Defense, I'm just going to stick with Pascal, man. Pascal had a huge game last week.
Need him, too. We need him. So.
Yeah, and I think final score is going to be 21-10 Cats.
Man, LSU would be throwing up. I guess I went second last week, so we'll stick with that pattern.
It plays.
Huh?
So I think we're up 21-0 at halftime. We get super conservative. And I think our defense just makes big plays, and they, you know, end up getting 10 points in the second half.
But I will say you were the closest last week for Florida. But I think this week's going to be a 31-30. I'm going to go 31-14 Kentucky. I think the offense kind of steps up and plays a lot better.
I think that makes LSU sick.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a loss to Kentucky, LSU going 3-3 makes their fan base sick anyways.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how they lose the game. If they leave Lexington with a loss, you're going to see people saying, time to go, kind of change, make a change. I will tell you that. But again, what do you got, Chris? I'm sorry. My MVPs, I think it's going to be Levis. I think Levis is going to have a big game. He's due one, man. He's due one. He hadn't had a good one really since Missouri. And I think on defense, I can't stress enough how important Pascal is for that defense and what he means to that defensive line. And I agree with Mike. He's going to be there, and I think he's going to have a huge game. He made a lot of money last week, by the way.
Yeah.
There you go. Like that. I actually think, again, this is the traumatized Kentucky football fan in me. I think Kentucky does come out flat. I think LSU comes out with a ton of energy and actually jumps on top of Kentucky by 2 touchdowns. I think LSU ends up throwing for 3, goes over 300 yards. I think Levis throws a pick or 2. And Kentucky loses 20.
Man, it's but the thing is that that's a very, very realistic thing because right. of that, because they're kind of that dog in a corner type of thing, animal in a corner. They're backs against the wall type of thing. And Kentucky's real, or, you know, wore out from last week, and that could very well happen.
We're kind of in uncharted territory as far as, you know, playing for bigger stakes, you know, looking at the SEC's championship now and shit like that.
You know, last week, well, go ahead, Chris.
Something that worries me a lot that hasn't really been discussed is the fact that Kentucky's defensive backs really haven't been tested deep all year.
No.
And that's what LSU has been doing. Like, they're kind of Missouri on steroids in terms of, like, getting the ball out of their hands fast because they haven't been able to block for Johnson, who's their quarterback. But he will take shots deep, especially Ute.
Ute, yeah.
Their number one receiver. And he is a freak, just like the last few receivers they've had. And, yeah, I think that they're going to expose Kentucky's secondary.
Well, I said last week that if we won the Florida game, I thought that we could possibly lose the LSU game. And I was – and because I've got all emotional games. And I said before the season, I said, if we beat Florida, there's no way we lose to LSU. And I'll stick with my original prediction on that. And I just think Kentucky's is – they're going to be motivated for that. And I know it could be an overlooked game for Georgia and stuff like that, but you've got to come out. I mean, this has to be – Stoops has to come in here and get these guys ready to go. I mean, if you want to be a guy that's has your statue out in front of the stadium, you got to win game against LSU.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say a poor LSU team because they have a lot of talent. It's not the same good results. Coaching. That you see. Well, that good, not good coaching and the results they're used to seeing. They are in a full-blown – because they're about to play 5 ranked teams, I believe, in a row. I think it's Kentucky, Arkansas, yep. Alabama. There's a couple other ones that I can't think of off the top of my head. Auburn, I think, is another one. But they just played Auburn. So, yeah, Auburn, Kentucky, LSU Alabama and Arkansas. There's another one that I'm missing there. But Ole Miss, that's the other one that they got to play all in a row. And I'm going to tell you, if they're looking at all those teams, they're wanting to get one against Kentucky. So, and because there's going to be tough sledding for them. But again, I don't feel sorry for them. So they can go 3-9, all I care.
Right.
Yep. So I just don't. Kentucky's been where they're at so many times that I don't have any sympathy for any team except maybe Vandy. So. But even them, I don't really like.
Yeah, I was going to say, I really don't have sympathy for Vandy.
That's because they're a basketball team.
And they don't give a shit about football, so.
Yeah, they really don't. But if they did, they would just kept the Mason guy and going 6-6 or 5-7 every year. Instead, they get some other guy that looks like they're even worse than they've ever been. But I'm excited, man. I'm excited for this game. I'm excited for this weekend. Another game at home, another big game at home. You know, I always will say, regardless if you think we're lucky or whatever, 5-0 is better than 3-2. 5-0 is better than 4-1. 5-0 is better than all those other ones. So that's something to be excited about. You get past LSU, I can't stress enough how big that is for this program, especially going into the next week.
6-0,
big time.
6-0, and then you're probably. You'd be flirting with, depending on how people play out this week, flirting with top 10.
For sure. Actually, I don't know how you're not top 10. If you win this week, I don't know how you're not in the top 10.
I don't know how Kentucky is the only SEC team that's undefeated and not in the top 15.
Because we've played 3 good teams.
But who's Alabama beating outside Ole Miss?
Florida.
Well, we beat Florida.
But they're Alabama, and they started out number one.
Well, that's true, but I mean, it's just that it's the fact that Kentucky gets it. There's teams in front of Kentucky that I'm looking like that have one loss and stuff. You're just like, well, how's that happen? I mean, Kentucky's 3-0 in the SEC. and one road win. That's a very, very, very good road win. So better than probably Alabama and Georgia both had. So, just throw that out there. But y'all got anything else?
No.
A lot of nervousness. A lot of anxiety.
A whole lot.
Well, it's just going to get worse coming tomorrow.
Yep.
So, I just hope the crowds just as loud. Just come out here. Come to the game if you can. If you can't, then I get it. But if you got tickets, come there and try to make it as good as the Florida game. And you think those drunk guys made it home last week, Mike?
I hope.
Shut up. There was a guy in front of us that was a papaw. He was sleeping, passed out before the game started.
Oh, my God.
The other guy was literally smoking a cigarette in the stand. Yeah. I haven't seen that kind of don't give a shit for a long time. They were all smoking cigarettes. I should reframe that. The papaw guy woke up, said he's going to drive them all home. I don't know if that was true or not.
His 15-year-old son just snuck the fireball in his broken arm cast and cowboy boots.
Gotta love it.
Those are the nights that I'm glad that I'm in Lexington and not Louisville. So, there you go. All right. All right. Well, I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chris. Go Big Blue.
Go Cats.